Call to worship is found in Psalm 149, verse 1, that says this: Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let us now focus again on our Lord in silent prayer and prepare our hearts to worship him once again. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keeps truth forever, and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us stand together and sing from Psalter 15, verses 1 through 3, God's glory in his works. Psalm 15, 1-5, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. God's glory in his works. Let us confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. The pre-selection scripture that we chose is found in Psalm 5, verses 11 and 12, that says this: But let all those that put their trust in thee, in God, rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Amen. God is our defender. That's why we rejoice in him. Let us pray with this truth in mind. Father, there are people being oppressed in Ukraine, but not only in Ukraine, in so many other places. The poor, the widow, the orphan, and other humble people are being oppressed and experiencing injustice in the world. And especially the Christians who are being persecuted because of Jesus Christ, because of the proclamation of the gospel. And we come now before you to plead, to beg before you, Lord, defend them, as we just read, that we are joyful because you defend us. And we pray, Lord, just like the psalmist, please defend your church, defend your people, protect them, deliver them, save them from their persecutors, and give them hope, faith. And also, we plead, give them boldness, O Lord. Boldness to continue to keep proclaiming and preaching and exalting Jesus Christ in their preaching. O Lord, we don't know how is that like. We have no idea. We have the privilege to proclaim, to preach, to talk, to read about the gospel and of the gospel so freely, with no problem. And so many times we take for granted this privilege. So give us a thankful heart. Thankful heart for what we receive from your word, from the gospel, and how we can freely worship you as we are doing right now. But at the same time, we are humbled by the fact that we have brothers and sisters so courageous. They are so bold. Their faith so strong. Their hope so amazing. That we give praises to you. That you guard them, protect them. And we ask the protection in the sense that they will never fail. They will never give up. They will never fall into sin and forsake Jesus and lack faith. No, Lord, keep them in faith, keep them in hope, keep them above all in Jesus Christ, grounded in our Savior, so that those people may teach us here, this church, the New Hope Reformed Fellowship Church. Oh Lord, give them double or even more of your grace, of your Holy Spirit, so that they can love you more, they can cherish you more, they can enjoy you more, they can have fellowship even more with you and with their triune God. Be with each one of them in their concerns, in their trials, in their afflictions, in their challenges, in their physical life and work, and that what they have to do, jobs, studies, family, and everything that they do. Be with them, encourage them, comfort them, give consolation to them, and help them in every way, but especially their spiritual life. Strengthen their faith, strengthen their trust, strengthen their love for you, O Father, that they can have a better sense of who you are, a holy, holy, holy God, and that they can long to see even more glory of God in their lives. So be with them in their sins. And those who have not still professed their faith and put faith in Jesus Christ, please, the children, all that do not have still faith in Jesus, work in them by your Holy Spirit. Bring them to faith. Bring them to Christ, so that all the glory, all the honor, and all the praises be to our Jesus Christ. In His name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Let us sing now Psalter 109, Personal Devotion to God, 109. Let us stand together and sing with joy in our hearts to our great God, 109. Seated. Now I'll call your attention to Colossians again, now in chapter 3. And after we partook of the Lord's Supper, it's for us to meditate upon the same truth of the gospel in a different perspective. I want you to meditate on the theme or the title, Gospel Mindset. Gospel mindset. That's so crucial for us Christians to develop, to cherish, to invest, to cultivate a gospel mindset. It's crucial for our lives. Crucial. I don't think there's nothing more crucial than the reality of living conscious of the gospel every day of our lives. And I think Colossians 3 will help us with this truth. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 says this, the word of our God. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Wonderful, wonderful words just read. Let's pray once again. Father, the riches here in this text are so great that we will just scratch the surface. The reality that this text talks about are so immense that our souls by themselves do not have the ability to grasp them. So please help us to the capacity that you give us, to the ability that you grant us, to see the greatness of the gospel, to live daily to you. And in Jesus' name that we pray, amen. Amen, brothers and sisters. Now, how do you kill sin? After you partake of the Lord's Supper, one of the motivations and resolutions as Christians that we should have is to kill sin. I want to live for my Christ. I want to live for Him in every way, in every possible way. I want to live for His glory, for His praise. As we just sang, our joy is to serve Him. Our pleasure to obey Him. Our delight is to live for Him. If for us to do that, we have to daily kill sin. And that's exactly what you see in the context of our passage in verse 5. It says, mortify therefore all your members which are upon the earth. You see that? The therefore is very important. Why is the therefore therefore? Why? Because it's a conclusion of a reasoning that Paul is giving us here. It is our text. The basis, here's the point. The basis or the foundation for us to kill sin and mortify the members of this earth, the basis is a gospel mindset. It's a gospel mindset. And then two things in this second hour. I hope it will not be too lengthy. I hope to be quick and short. Two points. First, seek the things above. And second, think about the things above. First, that's very easy. Seek to understand. To do it's another issue. Seek the things above. And then Paul will say, think about the things above. Okay? So first, seek the things above. Verse 1. If ye then be reasoned with Christ, see the verb there? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And I want you to understand and remind yourself about one principle that is crucial for you to understand in order to have a gospel mindset and seek the things above. It's the gospel grammar. You kids, there's a gospel grammar. Okay, the language of the gospel. What is the language of the gospel? What is the grammar of the gospel? Is it Portuguese? No, not Portuguese. Is it English? No, not English. It's a different kind of language and grammar. And here it is. In the false gospel, in the different gospel, in the gospel which is damnable, a gospel which is not a good news, it's a bad news, the grammar is like this. Do it, perform, do good works, then you will be blessed and saved. That's a false, bad news. Okay? If I do it, then I will be saved. If I obey the Ten Commandments, if I'm a good person, if I'm I hold together my life and everything, then I will be saved. Then I am saved. Then I am blessed. That's okay. That's what? A false gospel. What is the true gospel grammar then? It's the opposite. What is the opposite? It's not beginning with the imperative, with the command. Do it, then you'll be blessed. It's the opposite. You are already blessed. You are already saved. You are already loved. Because of Christ, through faith alone. Therefore, obey. Therefore, do good works. Therefore, live for Christ. Therefore, you will be saved. You see the difference? One is obey, and then you'll be saved. The other one is, you are saved. Therefore, obey. You see the difference? That's the whole difference. If in adult language would be the false gospel, the imperative mood comes first. Do it, and then comes the indicative. Then you are saved. But here, Paul is the opposite. It's see what you are. The indicative comes first. You are in Christ. This is your status. This is who you are in Jesus Christ. By sheer grace, therefore, seek the things above. Therefore, think about the things above. Therefore, mortify sin. You see the difference? And that's exactly what he's going to teach us. How can I seek the things above? Know what you are. Remember what you are. Have the ability to see the reality of who you are in Jesus Christ. Or better yet, what is your status? I'm in union with Jesus Christ. I'm united to my Savior. That's the basis. That's the foundation. That's my status. Therefore, that's the motivation for me to seek the things above. I'm not going to seek the things above to be united to my Savior. No, no, no. Because I'm united to my Savior, therefore, I seek Him. I seek the things above and not the things of this earth. Listen to the text again. See now verse 1 with that concept. See the indicative there? If ye then be risen with... See, that's the indicative. We rose with Jesus. That's our status. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. When He gave us His Spirit, quickened us to have faith in Him, we rose with Him. If that is our reality, that's what Paul is arguing here. If that is our reality, if that is our status, if that is our condition, if that is who we are with Jesus Christ, then he says, stick the things above, which are above. And then he will give us, see the gospel there? The gospel is resurrection. We were risen with Jesus. New life. Resurrection. And then he's going to give us another reality of the gospel in verse 1. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. What is the other part of the gospel? First resurrection. If we rose with him, then now we are sitting with Jesus Christ in heaven, which is another part of the gospel, which is ascension. The exaltation of Jesus, sitting with the Father. And now these two realities, these two status, these two truths of the gospel should be our motivation, our guess, if I should say this, our feel, our desire, our passion, our reason. Our raison d'etre, as the French would say, to what? To think about Him, to seek Him, to think heaven. Because it's where He is. We rose with Him, and we were ascended with Him where Christ is. In the heavenly places. sitting with God. That's where you are if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm sitting right here. How can I be there? Because I'm united with Him by faith through the Holy Spirit. Now, there are some things here when you seek the things above based on the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, of Christ. It's where you find these things I'm going to tell you right now. Power, because you can say, I don't have power. I don't have the ability, the capacity to think about the things above. No. As a Christian, you were dead. But the new creation, the resurrection power, the same power that resurrected the Savior is working in you right now. It quickened you. It's the same power as a Christian. So it's not for you to say, oh, that's so hard, so difficult. It is. But you have a motive so great to think about your reality right now as you partook of the bread and the wine, is that you were risen with Jesus and you have His power. It is not like just to think about, to seek the things above in, I don't think about the issues over here on the earth. It's not what Paul is saying. He's going to talk about family. He's going to talk about job. That's not what he's saying. He's saying everything that you do here, everything that you accomplish here, everything in your family, in your job, in your earthly jobs and goals and missions and work, they are just instruments. They are channels. They are tools for you to seek the things above where Christ is. That's the point. With your gospel mindset, you should use the things of the world to think about your Christ, to seek Him and seek the glory that you have there. You have power and you have riches. All the things that we are working over here, at the end of the day, what you do here because of your relationship with Christ echoes to eternity. Echoes to eternity. So in that sense, because you rose with Jesus and you are seated with Jesus in heavenly places, you should have certainty because of that. No matter what, because He conquered death, He conquered evil, He conquered sin. You should have meaning in life because it will not end your life here in this world. It will be done. No. You should have the mindset of exaltation, not because of you, but because of Him. You should have humility because He is your glory, victory, and I'm going to end with this, identity. Nowadays, in our culture teaches that you, by yourself, defines who you are. There's no external things to tell you who you are. I am what I am because I wanted what I feel inside. With the sexual revolution, I am a woman trapped in a man's body. Because that's where I feel like, that's where I am. But that's crazy. That's subjective. You as a Christian have an identity that surpasses everything. By the end of the day, your main identity is not because you are my daughter, or that I am a father, or because I am a husband, or because I'm a businessman, or I am a grandmother, or anything like that. Those things are true, but your main identity is what? I am with Jesus Christ. I am in Jesus Christ. I am what He is. It's no longer there's no longer I that live, but Jesus that lives in me. That's why I seek the things above. Everything by grace that He gave us in Him. Secondly, then we'll end. Not only seek the things above, but think about the things above. Think, verses 2 and 4, it's huge. Set your affection on things above, or think. of things above, not of things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ is our life shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now I want you to see very quickly, to think things above in terms of time. Your union with Christ in terms of time. It says, for you were dead. That's past tense. You died with Jesus Christ when he died on the cross. You died with him. That's our past. Then you rose again with him. That's our past. And then you are seated with him right now in heavenly places. That's the present. That's our present. Our past is we died with him, we rose up with him. Our present, we are sitting with him right now. And then in verses 3 and 4, he's going to give us, especially 4, I mean, the future. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall he also appear with him in glory. You see, your past, your present, and your future, all of them, your status, your identity, who you are, is with Jesus. You died with him, you rose with him, you're at right now sitting with him, and you will be glorified with him when he appears. That's why Paul would say in verse 4, who is our life? Jesus is our life. Now let me ask you this. What is your life? My life is to go to school, play around, and then come back, study a little bit more, and be at home, sleep, wake up again, go to school, study, play, and then go to sleep again. That's my life. No. You're going to do everything thinking about your Christ, because he is your life and he's coming back. Why is that important? Because we have the tendency to be enslaved to this world. To be enslaved. What is your life? Let me ask you this. What is one thing that you would lose in this earth that you would like to die? Life doesn't have any sense or meaning anymore if I lose this. Is it your job? Is it your family? Is it pleasure? Is there a perspective of a better future in this earth? What is it? The text says no. No, your life is Jesus. So no matter what happens, you are safe in him. And no matter what you lose in this life, you are not slave to those things. Even if you lose, like Luther in his my fortress, the Lord is my fortress. He says, even if I lose life, pleasure, family, I will reign with Jesus. Is that your faith? If that is your faith, then you will be able to kill immorality, that as Paul is going to talk about. Because your life is not pleasure. You're going to kill anger. Because if you lose something, isn't that what anger is? When you think that you love so much, are threatened, or you lose it, you become angry. How can you do that to me? And you are so linked to the things of this world, if you lose it, you'll become so mad. The only thing, there's two things, two passions, sexual immorality and sinful anger, can only be killed if you know that your life, past, present, and future, is with Jesus. And that's why you are not enslaved to the things of this world. Because you are living through those things for his glory. So no matter what happens, if you lose it, you will not be angry. And you will not find a way out of your suffering through sinful pleasures. Do you see how that works? But at the same time, it engages you to be engaged. It tells you to be engaged in this world. Because Christ is your identity. and you want to be a better father, a better mother, a better husband, a better wife, a better kid, better children, a better citizen. Not because your life is here, because your life is in Jesus Christ. And there is no better life lived in family, in jobs, in schools, than to live for Him through those things. Through those things. Let me just end with John Bunyan's The Pilgrim's Progress. Okay, kids? There's a very good story that John Bunyan talks about. And it's the second book of the Pilgrim's Progress. Many people didn't read Pilgrim's Progress. Especially, I mean, the second book. The first book, yes, everybody knows about. But the second one is his, the wife of the Christian, who is going to the same pilgrimage to the heavenly city with the kids. He went by himself. Now the family is following him. And then he goes, the same thing, to the house, where the house of the interpreter. The interpreter. And then when the interpreter take the family to a room, when there was a man with a muck rake. Muck rake is it's an instrument to get dug on the soil. So and he looks on, he's looking down all the time, just working, trying to get leaves and dust. Just looking down. And there was a man above him with a crown, a celestial crown, asking me, look up, take the crown, man. And he's not looking up, just down, trying to get his dust and leaves, dry leaves. And the interpreter says, do you know what that means? And Christiana, the wife of the Christian, the wife of the Christian, said, yes, that's the mindset of the earthly man. He just looks down all the time. He doesn't look up. In all his life is just dust and dry leaves. And then the interpreter says, that's exactly right. And that's what the world does when the passions of the world has the passion of the world has dominion over the heart of a person. And the world is just what? Dust and dry leaves. And the text of here, Paul is saying, look up! Look up! There's a crown, a celestial crown for you to look, that Jesus gave to you. In Christ Jesus, you have it. Your mind should be there. Your longings should be there. Your passion should be there. Your desires should be there. Not here. Yes, you will live here. Yes, you will product. You will be a better person here on this earth when you have a gospel mindset in Jesus Christ of past, present, and future reality that you have in the gospel. Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, help us. Help us to have that mindset in union with Christ. We don't have that ability, but your Holy Spirit does. So please, put eyes, spiritual eyes, so that we may see the glory that we have right now with Jesus. The power that we have right now with Jesus. A power that even when weaknesses, it's not power of this world, but even weakness, in weakness, we can have the ability to live for you. Because it's not our life, it's Christ's life that we live. And help us to have that mindset every day of our lives, especially when we are down, when we are desperate, when we don't have hope, when you see the perspective of this life in a dark way, please, through your gospel, give us hope. Give us more hope. And in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let us then now sing. Let's stand together and sing 400. and 5, 405 verses 1 through 3, praise voices. 405, 1 through 3, praise voices. Let us sing to our Lord. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of our Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Psalter 197, 197, 197 is the doxology.
His glory filled. Amen. So.